pastor needs to preach. What we witness today is preaching already. Amen. Two or three gathered together in the presence of God, things will happen mightily. Amen. We can witness the Lord. We witness it. For Byron, for all those who gave testimony, it really pops me up a little bit when I heard them talk, because, you know, it's just telling me that all things work together for good, for those who love God, you know. So, why in the world, when Sister Pete came to me first, it was some pastor who came to me to break the news about I'm preaching, I might. Because she came to me, I think, two Sundays ago, and she talked about their schedule, and I got scared. And I said, the first thing I said, oh, we going to Vegas, because that's my birthday. No, that's not your birthday, it's the first, she said. Okay. Oh, we're still going to Vegas. Talk to my wife. I said, you know, my wife so mean sometimes to me. And she said, no, she can make time for it, she said. So at that time, okay, why am I doing it? I asked myself after a while, because, you know, if my wife tells me to do something, it's not I'm like this. But she's right. I get fed with this church. And why would I say no? You know, it's just too nice for me. Not nice for me. Not, you know, to say no. I get blessed and fed spiritually with this church, and saying no. As you know, all the people here, they're so nice, they're kind, and the diversity is so good. And what else do I need? So today, ow! See, it makes me feel more bumped right now, because I see Sister Rose is smiling. All right, let's turn to our Bible today. See, I don't even know how to click my... let's turn to our Bible, to Hebrews 13:17. Hebrews 13:17. And while looking for that, I want you to put a marker on your Bible in Exodus chapter 1 to 4. We're not going to read all those Exodus chapters, but we'll be going around those areas. Tonight I'll be more of a preaching, because Pastor Don is teaching. I cannot teach that precisely yet, because I'm not that... I don't have that much knowledge yet. All right, let's go. Hebrews. Okay, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I asked Pastor Don to, Brother Don, to pray for me, to prepare me before I preach.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much.
Yes.
It is such a blessing that we can sharpen each other. You said, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. And Lord, we need weekly gatherings. Some of us work in a secular world where we are vexed by their conversation. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to gather and allowing Brother Jared to give us what you have shown him from your word. Empower him, give him understanding, clarity of mind, and calm his nervousness.
Yes.
And help us to be attentive, Father, and change us. Show us through your word how we need to be like Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, please sit down. All right, tonight I'd like to
My title of my message will be, God chooses our leaders, and we have to support them. I keep changing my message while I'm preparing it. And probably now I heard some testimony, it gives me another direction. So what will I do? So I follow my heart, probably. I'm still going there. But, I will just... Let's turn our Bible to Exodus. Tonight, let's go back to Exodus and revisit the life of Moses in the early first four chapters. And I think I would like to make some application on those four chapters. And later on, we'll go to Exodus 17. But for now, we'll go to chapter 1. And Moses, during the time, the condition of the Hebrews or the Jews under the evil king or under the king of Egypt, no other than King Pharaoh. And so I look at my Bible next to this. The condition of, let's take a look at the condition of Israel, the people in Israel. Between Genesis and Exodus, the circumstances of the Israelite in Egypt changes drastically from being favorably treated by Joseph. They were made slaves by king who did not know about Joseph. So we'll check out. Let's read chapter 1. Let's start in verse 8. And we'll read up to... I will read up to verse... Chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. We'll look at the condition of the Israelites during those times. Now, there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, Behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it came to pass, when there falleth out any war, they join also our enemies unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them out of the land. See, there's a really, in the start of Exodus alone in chapter 1, it's telling us after Joseph, now this new king is not a good king, and he hates Israelites. He's now thinking about the future that may come up with the Israelites. And he said, and the Egyptians in 13 said, and the Egyptians made the children of Israel, this is what happened. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar, in brick, in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. You know, this is the time where Israel went to these tribes, went to all these issues, like no other nations will deal with it. It's hard. You have a king, and you know you're under with a king, and that intention really is, it's hard. It's beyond imaginable. And during those times, he even ordered the midwives. He said in verse 17, in verse 15, I mean. In verse 15, it said, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew and midwives, of which the name of the one was Shephard, and the name of the other is Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew woman and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it's a daughter, then ye shall live. How cruel it is to do it to your people. And how hard it is for those people that live over there, especially they are the people of God. But no one knows that. Only them knows it. But my point here is, that's a big trial. But as we read here, going to read continuously in this passage in Exodus, we see God will provide them a leader, a new leader. And this will be, we know all this. We all read Exodus before, that we knew that this leader will be coming from other than a woman that's not even an Egyptian. And what's the name of the womb? I gotta find out. In chapter 2, let me jump to chapter 2. And there were a man of the house of Levi, this is in verse 1, I see, and took a wife, daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she had him 3 months. So now I'm reading about this, the boy Moses, more likely. And we know all the Moses in chapter 10, I will pass by for the sake of time. He said, in verse 10 of chapter 2, and the child grew, and she brought him unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, and she called him Moses. So, everyone knows that Moses was, he was saved by one of these ladies, by the mother, and found by Pharaoh's daughter, and he was nursed by their servant. What I'm looking out here as an application, it's like God, sometimes chooses a leader out of just an ordinary person. Like, we're talking about my nephews. All I heard about my nephews before I came here in the mainland, because I was in Japan most of the time during when they're babies, so, and when they grow it up, they're known for their boyhood, whatever you call it. They're not really good kids. And one of them became a pastor, like snow pastor in the church. What I'm saying is, sometimes God chooses a servant that we wouldn't even think that he become a servant. Out of ordinary, just Moses. Out of all this hardship in Egypt during that time, why would God chooses Moses? If you read in chapter 3, verse 1 in Exodus, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. I was thinking, why he could have chosen, the father-in-law, Jethro, because he's a priest anyway. Why Moses, But God has shown, way of giving us our resources, probably. God has its own way to build us,
to protect us.
Yeah.
Like, we were talking about the testimony of Brother Don. I know before I came to this church, he's my pastor, my Bible school teacher in the other church. And everyone knows there's an issue back there. I'm not saying those brothers and sisters over there are, you know, they did really wrong to us, or probably it's just an issue. It's just a condition that during that time exists in our life. And, you know, I don't understand why. I'm not even part of it, I think. But just seeing my friends only get hurt, why did I come with them also? You know? But I'm trying to fix that to myself. What happened, you know, during those times. And during those times, there's a need for other brothers and sisters in Chula Vista, a church that is grown up with a member, most of them are in their golden age. So probably they need help. Probably that situation in our church, it's like we meet them. God wants the other servants over there that are not happy to move where they can serve well, you know? And that's how I look at it. That's how I fare these things from why did God choose Moses? And we know that we have Sister Jack here, we have our brother Pratt and family here. It's like they need more, you know, company. I think we made them happy. They in other way they made you happy. Like they made me happy. Instead of thinking by, you know, I got hurt because my friend got hurt. But now I found a new friend. And I think God putting us back to the right way where we're reconciling with, you know, the people out there again. Probably Sister Ruth has a better ministry here. You know, there are a lot of singers over there. There's a lot of talented people over there. But there's a need on this church. We complement with each other. It's good. I think that's good. But let me continue with this, with the life in Egypt during that time. We start by, why is it Moses and not Jethro, who is a priest already? And I think God chooses Moses himself. And God has a promise. And that promise to change the condition in Egypt. And I would like to read some of the promise of God. So God said in Exodus chapter 3:8. Let's start with chapter 3:8. Exodus chapter 3:8. Exodus chapter 3:8, he said, "And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto good land, and a large unto land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites,
and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. I don't know, is he talking about all the diversity here now? Just like us in this church, where it's a God promising us to, hey, I make you happy, I bring you some company, you know? I know you're in a golden age, but I give you a new blood to sing for you. We have Jelena, Camille, all this Jericho, they play piano, they serve God, they are its helping system. I think that's a good thing. So we believe in promise, and when God promises, we should believe, because it will happen if your heart's right. But and not only that, God said, of course, Moses will ask God, why me? You know that. And in another promise that God commanded Moses. And this now chapter, in verse 14 of chapter 3, that's a command. If I jump on that verse in Exodus 3:14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. We are that great I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. If you go back, the God said that, because in verse 11, Moses said unto God, who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? It's he can't even believe himself that he'll be appointed to that big job, the leadership. It's not just a leadership, it's an ultimate leadership to bring out the people of Israel out of Egypt. And he knew King Pharaoh is not that easy. There's a lot of trials. There should be a lot of trials. It's like in our lives, when God give us some trials, you know, we always ask him, why me? Can I deal with this thing? And it's all a matter of, you know, bringing ourselves in faith that, you know, praying fervently, your prayers will be answered. And I think God will not let you down. In chapter 4 in Exodus, let's read chapter 4, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord hath not appeared unto thee. He saw the burning bush. He saw the Lord, but you know, people will not believe that. And the Lord said unto him, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. A rod. You know, all the, if you watch Ten Commandments, probably you see a rod, but this is too small. I think Moses' rod is about this high. So there's the reason I have this. Just say that. Now, well, is that a little bit silly? God asks you to do something, and he's giving you a rod in your hand that you use probably to pastor the sheep, to spot the sheep when they get lost. But God, you know, we're not reading all this entire chapter, but God, we know all the story that rod has a significant power. That rod can turn into serpent in the presence of Pharaoh, you know? We all read that. And there's another big thing that happened to that rod. And if we go to Exodus 14:21, let's go to 14:21. before I read it, I'll wait a little bit. And it's in Exodus chapter 14, and the verse is 21. Let's see how powerful is this word. We know this already, but we just want to read it in the Bible that it's here. In Exodus chapter 14, 21, I will read it. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. We know all that story, but now here in our very eyes, reading it in the Bible, in a pure word of God. So we have to believe it. My point is that God will not leave Moses alone. He gotta give him something for his people to go against the plan for them to be on Zion, to cross the river, to go back to Israel, to the land of honey and green fields. But you know, that right alone, you know, through all this Exodus, it explains to us a lot of things that what happened during their, their journey to Egypt, going to Israel. There's water made tree, there's this plague, the water from the rock, and what I want to look at here is the defeat of the Amalek in a chapter 17. Let's jump over there, chapter 17. Something went wrong during the time along all this course. We have Moses as now the leader of Egypt, or leader of the Israelites in the Zion movement. And Moses, number two, has power with the rod. You know, that rod can impart the sea into two. But as I read it, through it, the people in Moses' congregation, I will read chapter 17, verse 1 first. We're just trying to check here what's going wrong. Chapter 17 of Exodus. I'll start with verse 1. And all the congregation of the Ephraim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye me with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" Moses said, "And the people are thirst for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" It's like, after all, now they're trying to be rebellious to their leader because they have trials in their life. They're just thirsty. They've been through a lot of things during the years. Why this time they're like tired? Probably Moses is tired too. They're here. If I continue to read in verse 9 of that same chapter, in chapter 17, let me jump over there for the sake of time. In verse 9 it says, "And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek tomorrow." Now they have enemies too. in the same chapter, in verse 9, they have another trials. They're fighting. I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. Moses is still using the same power God has given him. He never get tired of that rod. He wants to have it. He wants to use it. So Joshua did as Moses had in verse 10, it says, continue. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. In 11 it said, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, what happened? Amalek prevailed. That means, let me demonstrate something. That rod, I said, probably it's not an ordinary rod, probably about this high. And if you held up that rod, if I asked somebody, just this one, just held this one for a whole day. Because, you see, during the siege of the Jews, go to that river, let's go back to the previous chapter we read. Think about Moses holding that rod while all the Jews or Israelites going up that river. You know how far is the width of the river? And before they all cross, this guy's holding this. And here, during the battle, it says here, in 11, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand, the Israel prevailed. Yeah, the rod is working, but Moses is tired. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. The enemy is winning every time he brings it down. He needs help. Yeah, Moses needs help. Just like anyone else here in the congregation. I think the pastor needs help. Ruth, Miss Ruth needs help. Those people that are working in a security or in a what I call it, the nursery, they need help. Because we gotta help each other. God provide us with a rod, a power. But we gotta work together to make it happen, you know?
Amen.
So, I think, I was thinking, when I read this, I said, why did a good opportunity that when Sister Faye asked me first, I would have to wait for my wife to push me, you know, to say yes. It's our human nature. I understand that. So that's why I'm preaching this message for myself too. Not only for you. Because I'm the same guy. I'm the same, like Moses guys. I'm the same dude. I don't have any difference with them. So I'm thinking about God has provided this church. Well, first of all, I planned this message without pastors because I thought, you know, I'm not trying to bring him up. But I was thinking about the pastor that was brought here in this church. Why did he choose our pastor here, Pastor Belaris? I was thinking he got educated with doctorate. He got a doctorate degree. He's working on his law, so close. Or are you done with it? Well, very close. He's a jujitsu master. And why him? And he got a, you know, he's traveling from LA through here every now and then just to preach. But he's trying to work it out. I was thinking, how long can he hold up his rod? You know,
So, aside from that, you know, when he was preaching a few days ago, he was talking about there are in his job, there are a lot of temptations that might come into him in his profession. They're trying to, you know, promote him. But in exchange of that promotion, there will be no assurance that he can still preach. So he has to, you know, he has to fight those things. So we gotta pray for him, you know? Because God is giving us a teacher that we know everything he says is coming from the Bible. So I'm not saying it's good. I'm saying it's going through this word, to this book. And there's nothing good other than that. He's teaching, he's putting all his time. He got his family with him that needs time also. He said he worked long hours in LA as being a policeman or a law enforcer. And you know, he don't have a lot of time for his family, but he has this time here at the church. And I believe when I read the Hebrews 13:17, it says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves unto them. For they watch over your soul, as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. Now, in my closing, I will ask you that you can make your pastor's job a joy or full of grief. One will be profitable to you, and I will not. So let's examine ourselves tonight, how we deal with our ministry here in church, how we deal with pastor, how we helping the church, and how we looking every issue that comes into our life as an opportunity. Let's remember always that all things work together for good for those who love God. You know?
Thank you, Brother Jerry. I know that that message spoke to each and every one of us. It did speak to me, not to preach over what he had just said, but pretty amazing how in the book of Exodus, I was looking at chapter 3, verse 7, to lift up the name of the Lord. In verse 7, he said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people. And then he says, I have heard their cry. And then thirdly, he said, I know their sorrows. That's why I am come down to deliver them. Wow. Think about that. The way oftentimes we may feel and think that God is not paying attention to the individual lives of every believer. But the Bible says that he sees our afflictions. He hears our cry. And he knows our sorrows. Sister Rocio. And just as he came down and used Moses to deliver his people from the Egyptians. You know, that's what I realized today, tonight with Brother Jerry's message. That is the call. That is the calling of the pastor. The pastor, the calling of a pastor is God's answer for those that are afflicted. It's God's answer to hear their cry, and it's God's answer to show them and tell them that He knows their sorrows. Wow. And then in Hebrews, in our text, in chapter 13, you know, one thing that encouraged me about this text, one is that I must give an account for what I do, for the things that I say behind this pulpit, but more importantly, when the things that I do, the things that I say behind this pulpit, I have to do it with joy and not with grief. Amen? Wow. Thank you, Brother Jerry, for such an encouraging message. Why don't we stand up and sing a song? If you need to come tonight, you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, we'll give you a chance to meet Him tonight. Or maybe you just want to be thankful tonight for God allowing you to see how He works, how His work in our individual lives. You know, it is a privilege to see the hand of God. It is a privilege to see the rod of God at work. Why don't we thank Him tonight for sending Moses men to keep his hands lifted up to hold on to that rod. Chula Vista Baptist Church, can we be thankful tonight for the goodness of God, for sending us fellow Christians to lift up our hands in times of need? You know, God works miraculously, sometimes in ways that we don't understand. He shared a testimony about what happened to a lot of us at Bible Baptist Church. And believe me, when we were going through those trials, it was difficult to see God's hand, until God revealed His will, until God showed His hand and His reason why He allowed those things to happen. Because there was a Moses in this place that needed His hand to be lifted up. Amen? See, oftentimes when we go through things, we don't know where we're going through them. But I hope by that message tonight from Brother Jerry, and it is from the Holy Spirit. But I hope that by that message tonight, God has shown you that the things that you're going through, there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. Just trust Him. Trust Him. There was a song that said, "When I don't see His heart and I can't trace His hand, I just need to trust His heart that He knows what's best for me." Every head bowed, every eye closed, the piano's playing. Yeah, altar is open. Would you come? Would you come? Just remain seated and just pray in the pew. pews. Pray with somebody if you have to, but please pray. People say?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Pat, can you close us in prayer, Brother Pat? Amen.